Today's sermon is called The Real Meaning. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Our Lord God, who reveals truths to our spirits and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's scripture talks about the juxtaposition between the law and the greater righteousness. Now, both the law and the prophets testify to God's work in history and the world. They're not at odds, but nor are they complete. Jesus comes into the middle of all this and says that God's kingdom is opened and is beginning, but is not yet complete. For it is he who embodies God's teachings, yes, but Jesus also embodies the definitive will of God. Jesus' chief point is that the only final authority is God, not the Torah, not Elijah, not Moses. And so he gives us today these six examples of what was said in ancient times and what's being said now. Jesus relocates authority from earthly written texts to himself, to God, to God's presence in life, teaching, death, or resurrection. But Jesus points toward not arguing about pronouncements. He transcends them. He gives instruction about God's will being bigger than anything that man can comprehend or has written about, or is trying to do as the kingdom is unfolding. Transcendence is about bending the arc of justice to the future and seeing God's will in that distance. But communities and individuals struggle to see that arc, I think, and lots of people are having a harder time in the arguments of specifics versus the transcendence. So today is Racial Justice Sunday in the United Church of Christ, and we recognize that it's Black Heritage and History Month also. So in order to understand what that is and why it is, I'd like to take a look back before moving forward. There's a fellow named Carter Woodson. And Carter Woodson was a public school teacher, a child of slaves who earned a doctorate from Harvard in 1912, only the second Black person to do so up until then. As a public school teacher, he established the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, and in 1926, he launched Negro History Week. Woodson studied education in America and through study and observation concluded that the violence Blacks experienced was directly tied to systemic processes of miseducation of all Americans, which were primarily taught through scripts which justified violence against Blacks and created an enduring social problem. Now, the Black culture has been distorted systematically through schools and social representations. I think we can agree on that. We remember some of those things, right? Oh, we may no longer have blackface performers, but even now we talk in certain ways that denigrate the intelligence of Blacks, make assumptions about living conditions of Black households, crime in ethnic neighborhoods, and economic mobility in Black cities. That stuff existed 100 years ago, but that stuff is still with us today. Connotations that have little basis in fact, but which negatively affect our views and opinions about God's brothers and sisters of ours. For Woodson, back then as today, schools, education, and the system of knowledge collectively are key battlegrounds in the struggle for equality and freedom. Woodson wrote an influential book called The Miseducation of the Negro in 1933. and it identified anti-blackness in education as the fundamental problem at the heart of the black freedom struggle. So Woodson brought focus to this by naming Negro History Week back in the 1930s, the forerunner of our modern-day Black Heritage and History Month. The central aim of Woodson's naming a heritage and history focus was to infuse education for students with critical knowledge about racial domination, not just through the KKK and lynchings, but more subtle things, such as an overrepresentation of European and white American history, and an underrepresentation, as a correlation of that, of black culture and accomplishment. There was white suspicion of black independent thought in the sciences, literature, and other venues, and white philanthropists' paternal approach to urban education issues and educators. It was if, Woodson says, it was this, as if there was and is 12% of the population that magically appeared as a permanent underclass in America and is unable to move. That's what slavery intended when blacks were first brought here. And for Woodson then, and many today, things haven't improved as much as blacks still struggle with institutional roadblocks to both economic and social mobility. Woodson's book demands that we redefine the goal of education with the kind of educational opportunity for black students to prepare them for the life to come, rather than quantifying progress for just a few black elites, like how many blacks are admitted to Harvard. Woodson wanted the education of people to begin with the people themselves, that blacks should be educated about their history, about their race, about their communities, and imitating those role models, rather than ancient Rome or Greece, or trying to imitate white Western Europe. And that kind of indoctrination starts at a very young age, doesn't it? Since the publication of Dr. Woodson's book, it's been reprinted a lot, and as a tribute to our own education on where we think we're at on racial equality, let's maybe read that book. Penguin Classics has put out a new edition that's circulating in the pews right now. It's called The Miseducation of the Negro. Write down the ISBN number when the book comes around to you. Why don't you give it a try? Because the point of that book and the point of the systemic racism awareness projects that we hear about is that racism affects entire institutions, from private enterprise to the church to the schools to the government, art and music, and other events in the public square. And unless we begin talking about it, we can't even see it. The beating of yet another young black man in Tyree Nichols brought this forward again, as police pulled a young black man from his car for no reason, and over the next 31 minutes, killed him, as five local police officers helped participate, and firefighters and sheriff's persons also did not intervene. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is that police violence happens disproportionately to blacks in numbers of at least double to their community presence. The first thing the newspapers, of course, focused on is that in the Tyree Nichols story was that the officers were black. They should have been focusing on the fact that another young black man minding his own business was killed by the police. Now, if we can't register one another's painful history and struggle, how do we move forward? Do we not see that we're not changing our perception of the Black experience from slave to free. We change out of hoods and cloaks, of course, but we change out of those hoods and cloaks to deny basic rights, education, and social action. And we change into suits and ties, which trade the baton for the fountain pen. We're much more polite about racism these days than we were in the 1930s. Legislatures and courts act to keep Black and brown folks down and blame them for their own suffering. I want to be perfectly clear. Hiring Black officers or electing a Black president doesn't suddenly make us a post-racial nation. Because the arc of justice is never having to fight for your life at a traffic stop in the first place. That's something that you and I don't ever have to think about, much less experience in our lives here in Greenland. Do we ever enter into that reality of lived experience of others among us? That experience that Jesus enters into with each person that he meets. Can we do that? Can we try that in the person of Tyree Nichols? I want to leave us with some final thoughts. Our scriptures talk about transcendence. We as a nation need to keep talking about God's will, just as we act to keep society's injustices in the light so that they're never reenacted and their victims are never forgotten. But right now, we're a nation armed to the teeth, and we're taught to win. And kind of to win at all costs, right? To be in the right of every disagreement. To go for the kill in everything that we do. With a coach like that, the only transcendence that teaches fosters ever more violent action in our lives, letting it sprawl outward. Because there are no enemies. Jesus tells us to love all folks into our circle of brotherhood, even when it hurts to do so or is pretty uncomfortable to encounter. To honor Black History Month means to engage in Black life and acknowledge our role. For until we choose love and liberation, it's hard to see how this cycle is going to end. And we need for the violence and the hatred to end. That's the transcendence that Jesus taught us this day. That is that it's God's will that ultimately prevails. The will of justice and dignity, but only through love and peace. And so it's my hope today that we'll see Dr. Woodson on the bestseller list sometime soon. That would be progress indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.